Hello, this is David Sundin, and I'd like to welcome you to the Rev Up Podcast. Rev Up is produced by the evangelism team of the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention. We exist to organize, equip, and motivate our churches for passionate evangelism. For more information about the evangelism team or the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention, please go to www.mwbc.org. And thanks for listening to the Rev Up Podcast.
I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 34. In Mark 12, verse 1 and 2, if you look at your Bibles, you'll see that we've got the parable of the tenants. And you know it. I'm not going to read it for you because you know this passage. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you look at the response of those he was talking to, in verse 12, it says, "Then they looked for a way to arrest him." This is the religious leaders, "because they knew he had spoken a parable, this parable against him, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away." Now, here's the thing that I find interesting. Here these guys were in the very presence of God in flesh. They were hearing God's voice. They were hearing God's human voice. They got to literally, with their own ears, hear Jesus. But even though they were hearing the words of God, they remained unrepentant and unconverted. You know what? They're just like a lot of the people that God has sent us to. People all around you have heard God's word. They've heard it with their own ears. They haven't heard Jesus speak it, but they've heard preachers. Now, when I was in Marshall, I could not believe how many people I talked to who had heard Stanley preach. I mean, Charles Stanley in Marshall, Minnesota. People who didn't go to church, when they talk about it, "Oh yeah, I heard it on TV. They've heard Billy Graham. They have heard people read the Scriptures. A lot of them grew up in churches where they got the Scriptures read to them all along. But even though they have heard the Word, they have remained unrepentant and unconverted. Even these religious leaders, when they were dealing with Jesus Christ, when they hated Him and wanted to kill Him and all of this, and they would not accept His words, He still loved them. Now let's look at the next one. We come along, and this is a story about paying taxes to Caesar. And they come along and they're trying to trap him. And they say, you know, "Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And Jesus does his little thing with the coin. He says, "Whose image do you see? And give to Caesar what's Caesar, give to God what's God." But here's what I want you to look at as we go through that. Go to verse 13, and let's look at verse 14. They came to him and said, now listen to what they said. "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." They're just trying to butter him up. But notice what was coming out of their mouth. What was coming out of their mouth was that which was right. Jesus wasn't swayed by men. Jesus did come from God, a teacher come from God, and Jesus did teach according to the truth. And they said it with their own mouths. But they were not even swayed by their own mouths. They said the right things, but they remained unmoved. Even though they were able to say the right things about Jesus, they remained unmoved and unconverted. However, they were never unloved. When I'm in a coffee shop and I'm talking with someone, it doesn't take very long after I'm developing a relationship with them. I want to know what their spiritual beliefs are. And I'll talk to them. I'll ask them, "Do you have any spiritual beliefs?" Everybody's got some kind of spiritual beliefs. Not everyone wants to talk about it, but everyone has some kind of spiritual beliefs. And if I have honored them, most of the time, they'll start telling me their spiritual beliefs. And baby, I'm telling you, we'll get some weird ones out there. There are some really weird spiritual beliefs out there. Sometimes I'll say, and how did you come to that conclusion? In the most honoring way I can, and I am just stunned at how some people come to their spiritual conclusions. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, I am stunned at how many people actually can say the right things about Jesus. And I've told people there who know that He was born of a virgin, they lived a sinless life, they died on the cross, and they rose again. Now, they usually don't talk about the ascension and return, but a lot of people know some facts about Jesus. They're just like these guys. They can say the right things, but they just don't get it. They're unmoved by their own words, and they remain unconverted. Now look at the next one, starting in verse 18. Sadducees who say there is no resurrection, they come with this goofy story about seven brothers and one woman. You know the story. Oldest brother marries the woman. He dies. Second brother takes her. He dies. Third brother. Fourth brother. Die, die, die. How would you like to be the seventh? I don't think so. But in the story, they all die. No kids. Whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? And Jesus said in verse 24, "Are you not in error because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God?" Who's He talking to? He's talking to the Sadducees. Now listen, my seminary professors told me that the Sadducees knew the Word of God. Matter of fact, my seminary professors told me that most of them had probably memorized the first five books of the Old Testament. That was their Bible. They had it. They knew it. But Jesus is saying, you don't know it. You see, here's the thing. They knew the Scriptures, but they remained unconvinced. Even though they knew the Scriptures, they remained unconvinced and unconverted. However, they were never unloved. And we've got people, I remember doing backyard Bible clubs. We'd have kids come in. We'd want to always teach them Scripture. I was stunned sometimes about these little kids who never went to church. They already knew some of these. So where'd you learn that? Oh, well, backyard Bible club somewhere, or vacation Bible school somewhere, or this or that. But as you go on with them, they didn't understand what it meant. They actually had some of God's Word memorized. But they didn't know what it meant. Remember when John 3:16 was really big in the end zones? I talked to a guy who said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I looked that up one time. I actually learned it." I said, "Can you say it?" "Yeah, he did. He actually did. And he did it in very good King James, too. Probably his grandparents' old Bible with some dust on it. He pulled it off. He found John 3:16, and he actually memorized. But he didn't have a clue about it." You know, you can know a lot of God's Word and just not have a clue. So they can know the Scriptures, but they remained unconvinced. And they were unconverted, but they were never unloved. And then finally, a man hears Jesus, teacher of the law. He hears him debating, and he gets excited. And so he's got a question, and he goes up to Jesus, and he says, "Teacher, what's the greatest command?" And Jesus gives him two. Here are the greatest commands. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. Now the guy turns into a preacher right there. I find this very hilarious, because he does just what preachers do. We supposedly hear from Jesus, and then tell it again, right? And so Jesus has just told him this, and this guy gets all excited and says, "Oh, yes, you're right." And he preaches the same sermon right back to Jesus. I'll bet there was this big smile on Jesus' face. But notice what Jesus says in the end. In verse 34, it says, "When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" You see the implication? Listen, if I say you're not far from me, that means you're not here. If I say you're not far from it, you have not arrived. This guy was close, but he wasn't there yet. He was close to the kingdom, but he remained unaware. How many people do we pass, do we talk to, who are this close to the kingdom? For those of you who are at the end, meeting in Duluth, Paul Berthume was talking about the God-fearers, and he kept saying, they're this close. And all we have to do is help them make that next step. There's a lot of people out there that God has sent us to who have heard the Word of God, but they remain unrepentant. They've said the right things, but they remain unmoved. They know the Scriptures, but they remain unconvinced. They're close to the kingdom, but they remain unaware. They are unconverted. But remember, they were never unloved. God loved them so much that not only did He send His Son to die on the cross for their sins, to be buried and rise again for the forgiveness of sin, but He also sent you and me to take them from where they are in their ignorance and bring them that final step to knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Remember, you will accomplish more in the next 2 months for the kingdom of God by developing a sincere relationship with two other people than you ever will in the next 2 years by trying to get two people interested in you. 3 steps. Develop relations. Discover stories. And discern next steps. And I hope that you will commit with me that this year, that you will at least let God lead you to one person that you will invest your life in so that person will come to know Christ and be baptized. Are you ready to make that commitment?
Thanks for listening to the Rev Up Podcast. If you would like to schedule an evangelism conference in your church, please call the Minnesota Wisconsin Baptist Convention at 507-282-3636. And remember, stay close to God for integrity of character, stay close to unbelievers for opportunities to influence, and stay close to believers for accountability and partnership.